Good morning, everybody. Let's hear the word of God as we find it in Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen. Let's rise and worship the Lord together then, with these thoughts in our ears and our minds. Let's sing 219, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne." Let's rise and sing together.
Thank you.
Now, I understand that my mic was on mute, actually, at the beginning of the service, so I hope you can hear me now. And a special thanks to Nathan for coming all the way from the back seat to let me know about it. Thank you, Nathan, again. So let's bow in prayer. Let's continue to worship the Lord as we come before him in prayer. So, God and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence at this Lord's Day and this weekend, and we thank you that we're here today in the house of God. And thank you for the many ways in which you've blessed and guided us during the past week, Lord, as we reflect upon our time since we last met here. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the way you bless us, Lord. Many times, Lord, we take things for granted. We pray you'll forgive us. We pray, thank you for the measure of good health, strength, and soundness of mind that you give to us, your servants, Heavenly Father. And help us to look up to you and look up to your Son, the author and perfecter of our faith, and be glad in you and rejoice and live lives pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all that you've done. You're the maker of heavens and earth, and you've given us life, and you give us so many good things to enjoy. The world outside fails to acknowledge you, Heavenly Father, but Lord, we just thank you for the many ways in which you've blessed and helped us down through the years. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a great salvation, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who gave his life for sinners like us at the cross at Calvary, and who died and who rose again as alive forevermore. And he's paid the price for sin. He's paid a debt we could never pay in and of ourselves. And he is, by his blood, Lord, by his stripes we are healed, and by his blood we are redeemed. And we thank you for such a great salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us always to be glad in the Lord and rejoice, we pray. May we, Heavenly Father, be equipped to serve you. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit. You've given us your Holy Spirit, and may we be led by your Spirit. May we follow the commands of your word. We pray that you'd speak to us from your word, even this morning, we pray. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless our time together, and bless us as a fellowship, bless us as a church. Lead and guide us, and help us, Lord, with the decisions that we have to make in days to come, God willing. We pray that you'd continue to guide us, direct us, Lord. Maybe things are maybe passing through barren years, Lord, barren times, Lord. But help us to not lose hope, not lose heart, but to persevere, Heavenly Father. And we do pray for much lasting fruit in days to come. We pray for the salvation of the lost world outside. We pray for the upbuilding of your people. Pray for the restoration of the fallen. We think of those who used to come here and once ran well, but they've fallen away, Lord. We just pray that you'd minister to them. And even this morning, Lord, speak to their hearts, we pray. And we do pray that you'd draw them back to yourself. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our time together. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. But be with those who are not able to be with us. We know some are away today. We know that Albert's preaching over the road at Bethesda. We pray you'd bless and encourage him with his ministry over there. And be with our pastor as well while he's over in Belfast at this time. And just pray you'd be with him and be with Robbie and bless Robbie and Michelle and the family. And we just pray, Lord, that Robbie will be refreshed and back ministering amongst us soon, Heavenly Father. And we pray that you'd be near to him at this time. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for all your goodness and all your mercies and all the blessings that you give to us. And thank you, Lord, for this time together. And we pray that you'd bless the ministry of your word here and elsewhere throughout the town and community. And indeed, throughout our nation today, as the word of God is opened up and preached faithfully, wherever it is, Lord, we do pray for the salvation of the lost and the upbuilding of your people, and ultimately, the glory of your name. So hear us, and bless us, we pray, this morning. We ask all these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We're now going to sing our second hymn. I'm not sure, I can't remember if these are in the black books or not, but There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. It's up on screen, of course. So let's rise and sing together. There's no Sunday school this morning, but there is a creche, of course. But let's rise and sing. There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
Thank you.
We do have one or two short announcements then for you today. I'm taking the morning service. Following the morning service, as you can see, the communion table is laid out this morning. So if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you're most welcome to remain behind. This afternoon, there is a service up at Jarvis Court. The church is responsible for leading the service at Jarvis Court, I should say. Come and join us if you're free, and do pray for Albert. He'll be leading that service. Now, this evening, slightly different way of going about things, but it's a teas, tables, and testimony night. Ruth Wilson from the Faith Mission, that's Nigel's wife, she'll be joining us to share her story and share about what God has done in her life. Now, there will be tea served at the beginning of the service. If you come down about 6:22 as well, you can settle in and you'll get your tea. You get your tea and some refreshments as well, and then we'll be handing over to Ruth to share. The midweek meeting now, Wednesday at 7:30, we'll be having a time of prayer. I'll be bringing some information from some of the mission organisations like Open Doors and Platform 67. I'll be bringing some update on the Faith Mission. If you don't know what's been happening with the Faith Mission lately, come and ask me at the end of the service and I'll put you in the picture. And Faith Mission, and then we'll be sharing a few items for prayer from some different mission organisations and church plant work and whatever at that meeting. So it'll be a time of prayer, 7:30 on Wednesday. Next Sunday, God willing, speaker for Sunday morning, Jonathan Groves, from the Hillview Baptist Church in Aberdeen. He's one of the Scottish Baptist lay preachers. It'll be his first time with us, so he's with us in the morning. And then at 6 o'clock, someone we know well, Tim Barker from the Lundmain and Crimmon Churches. So remember these items for prayer. These are all the announcements that I think I need to make this morning. The Lord's offering will now be uplifted. Thank you. Now, we're going to read Psalm 67 this morning. Now, I mentioned a moment ago Platform 67. Platform 67 is maybe certainly one of the mission organisations that this church supports. It's a fairly new organisation, Platform 67. Each year we have a visit from Martin Dudgeon, the representative. He comes and shares the work. So it's one of the organisation, one of the mission societies we support, is one of the most popular, I would say, that we support. And it's always interesting to get the news updates. As I said, I'll be sharing some of them on Wednesday night. But Platform 67 gets the name from Psalm 67, which is a great mission psalm. And I thought have a go and study this psalm and speak on it this morning. So Psalm 67 is what we're going to look at. So let's read it together, Psalm 67, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Amen. Let's pray together. O God and Heavenly Father, speak to us afresh from your word this morning. Teach us, we pray, through your word, backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts and challenge us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we would, by our life, work, and witness, bring glory to your name and be a living witness in the community in which you've placed us, and sharing your word and helping the cause of the gospel by sharing, by praying, by giving. Just pray that you'd make us a blessing, Heavenly Father, and through our life, work, and witness, people's lives would be changed and that people would praise you and give you the glory, Heavenly Father. Thank you that in this town we have the freedom, the community, we have the freedom to worship. There's many churches, individual churches, Lord, only one true church throughout the town and community, of course. We thank you we have the freedom to worship and to express our faith and share our faith in this land. Lord, we pray that you'll keep these freedoms. Lord, we remember there's places throughout the world, brothers and sisters, Lord, part of your church, who don't have these freedoms and privileges that we do, going through extreme persecution. Lord, we pray for North Korea, Lord, our brothers and sisters in North Korea this morning, that you'd give them much grace and strength to stand up, Lord, in difficult circumstances. Pray that you'd build your church in that land. We pray, Lord, for the evil regime that rules, Lord. We pray that you'd save them or else remove them from the position that they're in. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd come and visit that land. We pray, Lord, that you'd, for the salvation of the lost, for the salvation of the blind, those blind to the truth of your word. We do pray that, Lord, in days to come, they may have the freedom to worship, to set up the church buildings and have services, Lord. We just pray and long for that day to come here, Lord. We pray for the Middle East, Heavenly Father, there's much persecution. Lord, we do pray for the fall and the collapse of Islam, a false religion, Lord. And we do ask, Heavenly Father, for people in lands like Saudi Arabia and Middle Eastern countries, Iraq and Syria. Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost. There's been trouble and war tearing these lands apart. Lord, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd protect your people. And we pray for those, Lord, who are living in difficult situations, Lord, in refugee camps. We pray you'd be near and give them much grace, we pray. And Lord, we do pray that you'll build your church there in the Middle East and continue to work. Thank you for the work you are doing, for the many who are coming to know and trust Christ for salvation. We hear, oh, Lord, we do pray you'd be glorified. For some of the African countries like Eritrea, Lord, and Somalia, there's again extreme persecution. Be near to your people, we pray. And Lord, we think of India, Lord, with a Hindu militant Hindu government in power, Lord, we do pray to be more tolerant of people from other religions, especially your people, Lord. We pray you'd build your church in that land. For China's millions also, Lord, China and India's millions, Lord, such a vast mission field. But we do pray, Lord God, that we know you are working there, Lord. We do pray for the salvation of many more, Lord. And we do pray for the authorities to tolerate your people and they have the freedom to share, to spread your word, Lord. And we do pray you'll call many more out of darkness into your wonderful light, from people may pass from death to light. Death to life. We pray for the salvation of the lost, but ultimately the glory of your name, Lord. Lord, may we as a church be faithful in our task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Maybe we have to let a few traditions go, let a few things go, but may we be faithful in serving you and fulfilling the Great Commission. And may we, by the witness here, bring glory to your name. We do pray that lives will be saved and transformed as a result. Lord, hear us this morning. Speak to us and challenge us afresh from your word, we pray. Lord, we pray you'd bless our time together, and we ask all these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Well, before we look at Psalm 67, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Let's rise and sing together. I wonder how many times you hear the words, God bless, or God bless you. I wonder how many times you say it, God bless you. We use the term loosely, don't we? We use it without much thought. People use it without much thought. When would people use it? We can use it in different times, can't we? Sometimes maybe a television presenter, you might hear them saying, good night and God bless. Apparently the former football player and manager Kevin Keegan, somebody pointed this out to me, that when he's finishing an interview, he'll often say, God bless. I don't know if you've noticed that yourself. But we use it without thought. We use it when we sign off maybe a letter or an email, of course, these days, or a postcard. And I do this all the time. I'll often finish with every blessing. You maybe do the same thing. We use it when we say goodbye or goodnight. And of course, we use it, don't we, even when people sneeze. I'm not sure where that practice came from. You could maybe tell me that yourself. But even this week, it quite often happens if I sneeze in front of the children, someone will always pipe up, bless you, Mr. Young. So we use it all the time, don't we? God bless. So we say it all the time, don't we? But how do we use it? Do we use it flippantly? Do we really mean it when we say God bless? Do we really think about what we're saying? I liked the comment someone from the Open Air Mission told me, it wasn't a Douglas Young that said this, but another Open Air Mission man said to me that the director of the Open Air Mission used to say at night, good night and God bless, he will if you let him. That's a good point to remember. God bless, he will if you let him. You ever think about it when you say God bless or God bless you? Do you really mean it? The writer of Psalm 67 meant it. The writer of Psalm 67 meant it. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Then in verse 6 you get the earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. So when the writer of the Psalm 67 was saying God bless, he really meant it. He knew what he was talking about. What's the psalm about? I said that Platform 67, the mission organization that we support, is really named after this psalm. What's it about? It's a concern. A concern for what? It's a concern for God to bless, God's blessing. It's mentioned three times, as I've indicated, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Verse 6, our God shall bless us. And then the last verse, verse 7, God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. What does it mean? Well, the language of the psalm is taken from the high priest's blessing, given by God, given to Moses, to be used by Aaron, the high priest, and by Aaron and his sons at the tabernacle worship. And it's recorded for us in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 6, if I just read it for a moment, Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, and we read these words. Aaron's blessing. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel, you shall say to them, familiar words here, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So those words were used regularly in temple services in Jerusalem, and it's still used in Christian worship today, perhaps often at the end, a benediction of a church service. These words can be seen in some of the other psalms as well. If you go to the fourth psalm, I'll just give you a few examples. The fourth psalm, for instance, in Psalm 4, verse 6, there are many who say, God will show us some good. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. A prayer for the blessing of God. Into Psalm 29 and verse 11, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And then into 31 and verse 16, make your face shine on your servant, save me in your steadfast love. You've got different psalms of blessing. You can see it in the 80th psalm as well if you want to read that one. So these words then, the Lord bless you and keep you, the words that were recorded in Numbers 6, the great high priestly blessing for the tabernacle, still used in Christian worship in churches today. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and make his face shine upon you. What can we learn about from it for today, for us in the 21st century? I'll split this into three parts. There certainly is prayer for ourselves, first of all, and that people will come to a knowledge of God, and finally, that people would come to worship God. So we start then, first of all, the opening verse. Just look at it. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That's a prayer for ourselves. Is it selfish to pray for ourselves? Is this not selfish? The prayer here is asking God to bless Israel. Would it be selfish for us to pray, God bless Fraserburgh Baptist Church? The prayer here is asking God to bless Israel. Why? Is it that it becomes rich, a prosperous nation, that will have a strong economy? Is it that it will have military strength and have a great army and win many victories and conquer different nations? God bless us, make his face shine upon us. That's not what the psalmist was praying for. It's not a selfish prayer. People pray selfishly today. Certainly the non-Christian people would pray selfishly. Perhaps it's true for Christians. I'm sure it is true for some Christians as well. Like they have got this idea of a Santa Claus God who will be there to meet their needs when it suits them. What kind of examples could you think of there? Oh, Lord God, help me get this job promotion. I really need it. Or help me get through my exams and help me to pass this. So there's different reasons why people pray selfishly, as if they've got this idea of the Santa Claus God, or terrible really to think about it, a genie in a magic lamp. It's there to come to you when you rub the lamp and when you want. A selfish praying, selfish view really of who God is and what he does. But this prayer here, it might appear to be selfish, but there are, shall we say, unselfish reasons for praying the selfish prayer. God bless us, be gracious to us and bless us. The psalmist shows, first of all, that he needs to and that we need to depend upon God. It's an old question, isn't it? If God knows everything, why pray? There's many reasons why we pray, but one of the primary reasons is to show our need for God. God wants the fellowship of his people. He wants us to show our dependence and our trust upon God. So the psalmist is showing a dependency upon God. He needs to depend upon God. God's people need to depend on him. And then the psalmist is asking God to bless Israel for a reason. Why? So that, verse 2, your ways may be known on earth, and your saving power among all nations. So it's that his ways and his salvation, his saving power, will be known throughout the whole world. And this psalm here is a great missionary psalm, as we say, and it looks ahead to the day when Gentiles and Jews will be united in Christ, the day that God, that Paul speaks about when he says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, you're all one in Christ Jesus. This psalm is looking ahead. The blessings of God were never just meant to be confined to one nation. It's looking ahead, the psalm's looking ahead to the days when people from all nations shall be united in Christ. You see, there's unselfish reasons for praying this. The selfish prayer, God bless us. It's so others will know and others will worship God. You see, sometimes it is right, isn't it, to pray for ourselves as Christians and as a church. It's right to pray that God will work through us. It's right to pray that his light and his love and his mercy and his compassion will be seen in and through us. Remember the chorus, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. May that be a prayer that we would have on our lips. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's what you want the world outside to see. It's right to pray for ourselves as individual Christians and as a church that the beauty of Jesus, that the love of God, that the grace of God be seen through us. And the psalmist is praying here that God will bless us so that his salvation will be known to all. So you see, it's not a selfish prayer after all. It's not so that the people of God would have a comfortable and an easy life. They wanted to be blessed in order that it might pass to others. So you see, it's not a selfish prayer, and it's a prayer that we can consider today, that God would bless us, that his word would spread to others. And you know, some people, we hear a lot of talk about revival, and I mean, I've spoken on it myself, and I like to read about it, and some of you no doubt like to read up on it as well and hear the great stories of revival. And we pray for revival. Lord, come and revive, come and visit the town here, and come and revive your church. But let's just consider, why are we praying for that? Are we praying that things will become easier for us? Just think about it. Do we pray that we'll have a more comfortable life? If you look at the history of the revivals, actually, you'll see it's not a comfortable life. There was always opposition. When a revival started, there was always opposition, maybe through the secular press or from the established church that was hostile to the true gospel. And if revival came now, where would the opposition come from? There'd be all sorts of opposition, wouldn't there? From militant groups and organizations and militant religions, perhaps, as well. So when we pray that God, and that's by all means, pray that the Lord will come and do a new work here in the town, that God will come and visit us. But let's consider why we're praying it, that we'd be more comfortable. If we want to pray that prayer, by all means pray it, but pray that God will be glorified and that many lives will be touched and changed and many people come to worship and acknowledge God. It's a prayer for ourselves then. God bless us, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. It's not selfish at all to pray that prayer. It's not selfish to pray that prayer in the light of what follows. Look at the context of the psalm. First of all, we see that the psalmist wants, well, the next point is that there's prayer for ourselves, but the second point is that people will come to a knowledge of God in verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Israel believed they were God's chosen people. The nation of Israel was in a covenant relationship with him. If they were faithful to the true and the living God, God would bless them. If they left the commands of God and worshipped other gods, the Lord would bring his judgment. But Israel believed they were the chosen people of God. They were to be a light to other nations. This can be seen in the book of Isaiah, from which I quoted at the beginning of the service. In Isaiah chapter 42, for instance, we read these words. Might be familiar to many of us here this morning. Isaiah 42, verse 6, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. So you have there Israel's calling to be a light to the nations. A little bit later on in Isaiah in chapter 49, verses 6 and 7. Again, verse 6, he says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So, Israel were to be a light to the nations. The blessings were never meant to be confined to them. In Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching. He says, he's preaching to Jewish people. He says, I have made you a light. He brings the word of God to them, and God is saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, the people affirmed that their God was the living and the true God. And if they did that, the people were to be a light to the nations, so they were to affirm that their God was the living and the true God. And heathen nations would be looking on. From time to time, we see the people acknowledging the true and the living God. Heathen nations looked on, and they were wanting evidence to support Israel's claim. So they affirmed that they were God's chosen people, their God was the true and living God. Other nations, Assyria and whatever, were looking on, and they were looking for, you know, show us, you know, where is your God? We want evidence to back up your claim. Do these claims you make have any substance? So Israel Israel prays for blessing. And if God does bless them, the nations will see. Be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, not for our glory, but that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. So you worship the true and the living God. Prove it. Let's see it. If God blesses them, the nations will see. This will be the visual proof of God's existence, God's activity, and God's grace. And they'll come and see his way and his salvation. So the nations round about, the onlooking, the ungodly, were looking to see. You know, what relevance is your, you know, who is this God you talk about that you claim to know? For us today, in the 21st century, Christians today, we have God working within us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And that's a call for us then. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we repent and we put our trust in God for our salvation, God gives us his Spirit. He doesn't just leave us to get on with things. He justifies us. He declares us right with God. This is so great salvation. But more than that, he imputes Christ's righteousness onto us. So we're declared righteous before, you know, he declares us righteous before God. But he gives us his Spirit and he sanctifies us. We should be growing in grace and in our faith. And we should be becoming more Christ-like. Of course, we still sin and we fail, don't we? Someone once said, the Christian doesn't become sinless, but they should sin less and less and less. And if we live the way that we should live, if we have a godly character, a Spirit-filled life, a living ministry, then we should reveal something of the love of God and the glory of God to the world round about us. If we're united as a fellowship, the Bible, the psalmist says, another psalmist says, how good and pleasant it is when men and women dwell together in unity. If we're united and in a loving fellowship, the world outside would take note. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What did Jesus say to his disciples in the upper room? A new commandment I give to you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us to have the same mind in us that Christ had when he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says these words in Philippians chapter 2. He says these words, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." We're living in a crooked and twisted generation, aren't we? I've got to shine as lights. The world round about us knows that God exists. Now, even though men and women may suppress the truth and Professor Dawkins may write his books and appear on DVDs and take part in debates with Christian scholars, which some of us have seen here, he may write these books and come out with these, and set up his website, and some people might go on, but you know, the world knows that God exists. People may suppress their conscience. The world knows God exists. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. We sing it, don't we? All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Paul writes to the Romans, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so that all men are without excuse." So the world outside knows that people exist, knows that Well, of course, the world outside knows people exist. But of course, the world outside knows that God exists. But what? You know, I believe there's enough evidence around people every moment of the day to convince them of the existence of God. But what people are really wanting to know and searching for today, I believe, is they're asking, what relevance is your God to us today? How can he help me in my life? What can he do for me? How can he change my life? So you see, Israel were to be a light to the nations, and the nations round about were saying, well, you're saying you've got the true and the living God, and he's chosen you. Show us. And that's what the world said to us today. All right? You're claiming to have the truth. Show us. The nation's divided. The world is a dangerous place to live in today. People are looking for hope in a troubled world. What people want to know is not that there's a God. Many people believe that. People believe that anyway. People want to know is, what relevance has he got for me today? And you know, someone once said, we're not to be sponges taking in all the time. You know, you go into your shower or your bath and you soak up the water in your sponge. We're not to be sponges soaking in and drinking it all the time, being spoon-fed all the time. We are to be satellites. We are to receive God's word and transmit it. Okay, if you're going to be a sponge, okay, soak in the water, but also squeeze the sponge. Let it out. We are to be satellites, receiving God's word, transmitting it, receiving, transmitting it. When I was younger in the Sunday school, I don't know if they still sing this chorus, but remember it? There is a flag flying high from the castle of my heart. I suppose that's speaking about the experience when you become a Christian. You've got the love of God and the joy of God in your heart. But what does the chorus go on and say? Keep your flag to yourself. No, let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know. You're letting your flags fly this morning. There's a flag flying high from the castle of my... Let it fly high. Let the whole world know. Psalmist says here, pray that God will bless us. Not so we take it easier, so we've got a comfortable life, or we prosper, we've got lots of a strong economy, and we're strong in the eyes of the world. Pray that others will see and be drawn to him through us. That's what the psalmist is saying. Israel, let there be a light to the nation, a light to the nations. We have to be a light to our community, salt and light. Pray that God will bless us. Pray God bless Fraserburgh Baptist Church, that others will see and be drawn to him through us. So we pray for ourselves, that, and we pray that people will come to a knowledge of God, but more than that, pray that people not just know, but they'll worship God, come to a worship of God. Not just believers, but disciples. Why do we want people to know God? We look for God's blessing that others will know God. Why? It's for their good and for their salvation. We should want these things. Do we want these things? But we need also to look beyond that, even more, the ultimate purpose. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse 3. Verse 5 and verse 7, let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let the peoples praise you, let all the peoples praise you. God bless Fraserburgh Baptist Church. Make me a blessing that people would know, come to know you and be saved by your wonderful grace, but also that they'll give the glory and the worship and the praise to you. We pray this prayer, the unselfish prayer, that God will receive the glory and honor due to his name, acknowledging and worshiping him forever. Why do we pray for revival? That God, ultimately, that God be glorified. Pray that this church should be full one day, that God would be glorified. And we should not be happy until every convert is a worshiper. In Acts chapter 8, you've got the sad story of Simon the magician. He professed faith, but he wanted glory for himself. He said, give me this power also so that anyone in whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He wanted something out of it for himself. Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Peter says to him, okay, ultimately Simon the magician wanted glory for himself. Peter says, Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord, for your heart is not right before God. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours. You see, there's a man who professed faith, but ultimately just wanted something for himself. He wanted the glory for himself. Today, the church is confronted with this easy-believe decision evangelism. Make a decision for Jesus, and you'll be happy for the rest of your life, and all your problems will be solved. A decision of that kind of evangelism where the converts will not last, and God is not glorified. And if Peter was around to say, today, he would be saying to them, as he said to Simon, your heart is not right before God. Well, let's pray that God will bless us, that people will come to know, but ultimately give the glory and the worship and the praise to God. You and I have received the word of God. Let's not be a sponge soaking it in all the time. Let's be a satellite. Let your flag fly high. Let the whole world know. And let's pray the unselfish prayer that God will bless us and our Christian witness, that God will bless the life of Fraserburgh Baptist Church and indeed the Fraserburgh Church and the North East Church. Why? To make it easy for ourselves? No, that people may come to know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of mankind, and that people would ultimately give God the glory, great things he has done, give God the glory, the honour, and the worship to him. Amen. Now we can take our hymn books, or we can, of course, sing from the screen. It's hymn number 56 as we close the first part of our service this morning. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. I do remind you, of course, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, do please remain behind for the Lord's table following the benediction. Let's sing hymn number 56.
Thank you.
Oh, Heavenly Father, be with those of us who remain around the Lord's table. Be with those also who have to go just now. We pray that you'd bless and keep them throughout the remainder of the day and the coming week. We pray that your grace, mercy, and peace would be with us all at this time. Amen.